Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a special Saturday edition of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I am so excited to kick off my weekend with you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and talking Red Sox with me. It is my favorite part of every single day. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for NESN and have for the past 3.5 years. I have been in this world of sports now for over 6 years, but in the Boston scene for almost 32. I was born and raised in the Boston area. So naturally, I was born and raised a Red Sox fan, so I love being able to bring the fan and reporter perspective to you each and every day. Now, normally we don't do episodes on the weekend, but there is a lot to talk about just from Friday night's game alone, so I could not pass up an opportunity to come on and chat with you. But first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. So like I said at the top of the show, a lot of good happened, and a lot of good happened, unfortunately, because some bad happened Friday for the Red Sox, so we'll start with the bad. Kike Hernandez did unfortunately test positive for COVID-19. Alex Cora broke the news during his pregame media availability, which took place Friday about 4:15, so roughly 3 hours before the game. And Christian Arroyo also was deemed a close contact, so both of them were unavailable, and Alex Cora did say they'd be unavailable for quote-unquote an extended period. Hopefully it's just the 10 days. Hopefully it's nothing more. Maybe it can be less. I don't really know. I also don't know what constitutes a close contact, so I'm not sure why it was Christian Arroyo who was deemed the close contact and not Xander Bogaerts or really anyone else on the team. So I don't know if it has to do with sitting next to each other while traveling, their locker placements. But regardless, those two were unavailable Friday, which prompted a last-minute call-up for Jairo Munoz and Jonathan Araruz. And thankfully, the Woo Sox were playing in Buffalo, and because geography is weird, Buffalo is about 3 hours from Cleveland, which I had no idea about until Friday. Geography was never my strong suit, but I also never think that New York and Ohio could have been that close. So luckily, they were able to get on the team bus, but it was just Munoz and Araruz and the bus driver from Buffalo to Cleveland. Like I said, it's about a 3 hour drive, so would have loved to have some live camera action in there to see what was going on, to see how they were hyping each other up and if they were nervous or anything. Araruz actually said that he was asleep at 1 p.m. when he got the phone call to let him know that he would be in the Red Sox lineup Friday night. Stars, they're just like us. But they did get to Progressive Field at about 5:30. They had to go through COVID protocols, so they got rapid tests. Obviously, they came back negative because they both played Friday. And it was Jonathan Araruz who played the hero. And, you know, like I said, good happened because bad happened. And if Kike Hernandez hadn't tested positive and Christian Arroyo wasn't a close contact, Araruz wouldn't have been with Boston on Friday. So the Red Sox offense, stop me if you've heard this before, really, really struggled against the starting pitching. Logan Allen, who had only appeared in a handful of MLB games, was looking incredibly dominant against the Red Sox team. Coming into the game, his ERA was 7.86, and he no-hit the Red Sox through four innings, had only one hit through six. Bobby Dalbec had the lone hit, so he continued to stay hot. But it was in the eighth inning when Araruz got his chance to shine. There were runners on first and second with nobody out. And you're probably thinking, here we go again. The Red Sox have men on base in a crucial position that they need to score. There's someone in scoring position. They probably won't score, right? Because we've seen that happen so many times. So Araruz actually missed a bunt to move the runners forward. And again, you're probably watching going, oh God, here we go. He missed the bunt. And what did he do? He hit a 3-run home run in the eighth to give the Red Sox a 4-3 lead over the Indians, which eventually proved to be the game winner because that's the score the Red Sox won by on Friday. So overall, it was really, really good to see contributions from somebody who wasn't even supposed to be in the lineup. He wasn't even supposed to be with the team. And he came in and just made the difference, quite literally made all the difference in Friday's game. If it wasn't for Jonathan Araruz, the Red Sox probably would have lost this game. So in a lot of my articles lately, I've been writing, you have to take the good with the bad. And that's exactly what happened on Friday. It certainly is not ideal to lose Kike Hernandez, who's been really solid, and Christian Arroyo. Those are two bats you never want to lose, two people who can play the field, who have been good for you all season, and you don't want to lose them. Christian Arroyo cannot catch a break this year. He's been injured a lot, and now he's deep in the close contact. But even though that was bad, it led to the awesome bus trip for Munoz and Aroruz, and it led to the game-winning home run by Aroruz. So hopefully this is a sign of good things to come for Aroruz. I know that I've said recently on this show that he should stay with the Red Sox. He shouldn't have gone back down to Worcester. That was my unpopular, spicy opinion a couple of weeks ago. And I know one home run does not change that. It doesn't mean that he's going to be a stud. It doesn't mean that he's going to come up clutch every single time he's given the opportunity. But I think Friday showed just how important he can be to this team. And overall, it was a good win. It was a needed win. I feel like I say that after every win now because there's so few games left that the Red Sox need to win as many as they can, especially against teams like the Cleveland Indians, who are not very good this year. And at this point, so late in the season, the Red Sox will take wins any way they can get them. It doesn't matter how they come. It doesn't matter how ugly, how dominant, how good, how scrappy. A win is a win, and they can never have enough of them right now. So to be able to start this road trip off on a high note and in such a positive way is really good. And it's going to do wonders for Aroruz's confidence because he's just a 23-year-old kid trying to make it in the big leagues. And he's shown flashes. He's been up and down with Boston dating back to last year. And he's really shown some potential. And again, he's 23. There's going to be learning curves. There's going to be hurdles to get over. But hitting the game-winning home run for a team that is desperate for wins, for a team that is fighting to keep their playoff hopes alive and hold on to that wild card spot, for him to come in and provide that spark is going to boost the team. It's going to boost his confidence. And Aroruz is probably going to be here for a little while, regardless if Hernandez and Arroyo are out for those 10 days. Assuming that Arroyo will be back sooner than Hernandez, Aroruz probably will still stay here and Munoz will go back to Worcester. So to kind of get Aroruz started off on the right foot and in such a big moment, it can only mean good things for the Red Sox. I'm manifesting this. It's going to start something very, very good for the Red Sox. And I think Alex Cora agrees because after the game, he was asked about Aroruz and kind of the home run and what it meant and what he saw. And I really, really loved his quote. So Alex Cora said, "It's huge. We've seen it around the league. If you want to look back, the Yankees started getting hot and it was guys who came up from AAA." He makes a good point because Jason and I have mentioned before that the Yankees were winning games without their stars and with people who we had never heard of. People they were recalling from AAA, and they essentially had a AAA roster for a while due to injuries and COVID. They had a COVID outbreak, and all of their stars were just getting hurt at the same time, it seemed. And it was the AAA guys who kept them afloat. So if Aroruz can kind of provide that same spark, and maybe this can provide some confidence to the veterans who are struggling, specifically like JD Martinez. He did sit out Friday's game, but maybe this is something that can help not just Aroruz and not just the team, but the veterans as a whole. So this, in my mind, is only going to mean good things going forward. I'm excited to see what Aroruz does Saturday, assuming he's in the lineup. And I'm excited to see what he does while he's here, while Hernandez recovers. Right now, his health is obviously the most important, and hopefully he can make a full recovery. Alex Cora did say he was experiencing symptoms, so hopefully he can recover quick and get back to this team and pick up exactly where he left off. But as much fun and as much good as there was in that game, there was unfortunately some bad. And we will get to that right after I tell you about Built Bar. I love Built Bar. I am on a cookies and cream kick right now. My favorite flavor that I've tried. I need to try all 9 because I've been on this cookies and cream kick for so long that I've neglected my other flavors. But I'm so excited to try the others. There's coconut, there's raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's orange and strawberry. There's something for everyone. And even if you're the pickiest eater, you can find something you like. I know you will. And if you haven't tried all the flavors yet, you can get a mixed box like I did, where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bars delicious, they're healthy too. These macros are awesome. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, they're all tasty, and they're all healthy. You cannot go wrong with Built Bar. And it's also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty neat. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to our second segment. And as I said, as exciting as the game was for Red Sox fans and Jonathan Aroruz, it wasn't as good for E-Rod. Now, he did pitch 7 innings, which was fantastic because this bullpen needs all the rest it can get. But he still did give up 8 hits, 3 earned runs. He's not striking out a lot of people. He only had 2 strikeouts. But what I'm focusing on is the 7 innings. It's much better than his 3 2/3 in his last outing against Texas, when he was tagged for 5 earned runs, and that just was not a good outing for E-Rod then. But again, the theme of this episode is taking the good with the bad, and even though he didn't get the win, he did go 7 innings. His changeup looked really, really good. He said after the game that he threw a lot of changeups and he saw positive results from it, and he did. He looked like he was in control. He definitely looked more confident than his last outing. And you'll certainly take 7 innings, especially when this bullpen needs rest. You still can't really rely on Matt Barnes. Adam Ottavino got everyone's blood pressure a little high in Boston in the 9th inning before he closed out the game. So the longer you can go into games, of course, is better. It would have just been nice to see him not give up the runs, obviously, but also the offense, man. I mean, the offense really couldn't do anything. They couldn't generate anything against a AAA pitcher, essentially. So it's certainly not all on E-Rod. I was encouraged that it was a longer outing, that pitches were working well for him, and that he was showing more promise than his last outing. But if you were worried about E-Rod's outing and anything like that, Garrett Richards came in and made you forget about everything. He was absolutely dominant in the 8th inning Friday. He worked really fast. He had a really quick inning. He racked up 2 strikeouts and then induced a ground out. He was efficient. His slider was incredible. That slider is so nasty when it's on. And he looked really good. He set up Adam Ottavino perfectly. And if this is the Garrett Richards that can come out and set up the pitchers for the 9th inning, that's a dangerous pitcher. I know he's a starter. I know he's been used to going 4, 5, sometimes 6 innings. I get that. But when you can leverage that slider he has, and he's using it in a high leverage situation, he becomes incredibly dangerous. And I never thought I'd say that about Garrett Richards, but he looked dangerous and he looked so solid Friday. It is one start, so I'm not going to sit here and say that he is a Hall of Famer. Just give him the Cy Young now. But it's encouraging to see because we are getting later into the season. September is right around the corner, just a few days away. And pitching wins you games at the end of the day. I mean, the Indians almost walked away with this game because of their pitching. So to see Richard so confident on the mound, seeing everything work for him, basically being unhittable, I'll take that any day of the week. Obviously, the closing role still is very up in the air because Adam Ottavino, even though he came in and closed out the game, he did put men on base. All the Indians had to do was take one swing of the bat for a home run, and this game was over. So thankfully, that did not happen. Nothing spoiled Jonathan Aroruz's night. But I think overall, Red Sox fans should be happy with this game pitching-wise because everything seemed to be working for everyone. E-Rod's changeup, Garrett Richards' slider. Adam Ottavino still did look good in some regard. He did let some pitches get away from him. I mean, at the end of the day, though, it still seems his offense needs adjustment. I mean, you cannot get no hit by somebody who was coming in with an almost 8 ERA. You cannot be doing that. You need to get your JD Martinez's, your Xander Bogaerts, you need to get them out of their slumps. You need your Rafael Devers to continue building off their big night from the game before. You know, and sometimes that all starts with one game. And at this point in the season, you need to take it one game at a time. The Red Sox now have won 2 straight. They can win the series Saturday against the Indians, which would be really, really nice. So we will see if that happens on Saturday. Nate Eovaldi will be taking the hill, and I'll take my chances with that. He's been really solid all year. He's been able to give the Red Sox a chance to win, and hopefully that trend continues. We have one more segment for you coming up, and that, of course, is our unpopular opinions and positive takeaways, and we'll get to that right after I tell you about betonline.ag, because yes, it's that time of the year again. All eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is Make a Bet on Thursday, September 9th, which is the NFL season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. But if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, welcome back to our third and final segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. And I'm going to kick it off with the unpopular opinion. And I've given him a lot of praise this whole show. I said it earlier, but I think Jonathan Aroruz belongs on this Red Sox team some way, somehow. I'm not judging this based off just one game. I'm not saying this because I've liked him since he came into the system. I'm saying this because he has shown a lot of potential. He's shown his flashes of greatness, and Friday he showed where he can really come in clutch for this team. And I think the next 10 or so days is going to be really telling for him. I think that if he can prove to continue this trend and stay hot, I think that the Red Sox will have some tough decisions to make when their roster is full. But September call-ups still are right around the corner, so there's always that too. But I want Jonathan Aroruz to stay with the Boston Red Sox. And my positive takeaway to end this show is that even though the offense didn't do a whole lot Friday, I think that only spells good news for what's to come, because when the offense goes cold, there is always some sort of turning point for this team that kind of lights a fire under them, that gets them going and gets them into a new game. And they put up a lot of runs and they put together good at-bats and good hits. And we have seen that recently. We didn't see that a whole lot Friday, but I think Friday's game was the start of something really good. I think Red Sox fans should be optimistic about the rest of the series, and that's going to spell good news because you want to take all this momentum and carry it into the new series against the Rays next week. And also, I need to give Garrett Richards an honorable mention. I know we just talked about him in the second segment, but I cannot say enough good things about his appearance on Friday. It was quick, it was effective, it was dominant, and that's what the Red Sox need out of the bullpen. So you got two positive takeaways to begin your weekend. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. But the fun doesn't stop here. You can connect with me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. And also check out the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox. And please rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast wherever you get your podcasts. When you do subscribe, you never miss an episode the second they drop, so be sure to do that. And also leave us some feedback. Tell us what we can do better, what we can do more of, what you want to hear. We always love hearing from you, so please get in touch with us. You can also read all of my stuff on Nesson.com. A lot of Red Sox stuff going on right now, so be sure to check out all of that. And don't forget to check out all of the other Locked On MLB shows across our network. Locked On A's, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Rays. Everyone does such an incredible job. They deserve so much credit. So please check them out. And also don't forget that betting on the Red Sox, MLB, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. I'll see you soon.